Holly, what an honor it is to be here. You guys are truly like family. And I love what God is doing here in Kelowna, Pastor Dieter and Diana. Man, we go way back. When he was talking, I just started thinking of some stories we had, some times we had together, even before ministry was really on my heart. I had Brandon dreams, Brandon desires, but guess what? Those were not God desires. Definitely not God dreams, but I remember being around your pastors and always showed the love of God, not just on the platform only on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, but all the time. And, you know, Pastor Diana giving me advice, you know, Brandon, you know, and great godly advice when I was younger and in that position of really seeing what God had for me to do and that season of my life. So I'm so thankful for that. And what a blessing you guys are, and how God is using you. It's truly amazing. Amen. Are you thankful for your pastors? It's good to have good pastors. That's a good thing, right? They have a heart for you, and you can actually talk to them, shake their hand. If you have something on your heart, you can actually speak to them. That's a blessing. You know, you are truly blessed to have pastors that know the Word of God, not just know it, but love it, and know about faith. That's a big thing. They don't preach doubt and unbelief to you. Oh, yeah, you're going through that tough season. Guess what? It's going to get worse, and it's going to get tougher, and there's nothing you can do. But no, you have pastors that know about faith. They know about taking up faith as a shield, and they preach the uncompromised Word of God. That's special, amen? Walking in faith, being a person of faith, it's not just for a certain group only. You know, I was brought up, and I'm so thankful for this, but I was brought up in the household of faith, going to Kenneth E. Hagin camp meetings. I would go to all of them when I was a kid. I was drugged to those meetings, and that's a good thing, right? And I would go to the kids' church, but when Brother Hagin was preaching, I was not allowed to go to kids' church. I had to sit there in the seat and hear the man of God. And I remember one time, it was a special New Year's Eve service, and Brother Hagin, the Lord put on his heart to have this special New Year's Eve service. It was one of his last services he had, and I remember the place was packed, and me and my cousins, we were all in the service, and I remember there's like this big dome on the ceiling, on the roof of the church, of this conference room, and I thought, at midnight, this thing was going to fall down, like the New York Times ball, to like declare the new year. So I told my cousins, hey, I know you're tired. We were tired. I know you're tired, but that thing, at midnight, that thing's going to drop. So I remember it never dropped. I thought they'd do some balloons or something. Nothing. But I remember after the service, my grandmother, I remember Brother Hagin was, he walked up on the platform and he was going out a back door. And she ran up the stairs and she talked to him. And he shook his head, and he came down, and he hugged us and prayed for us. How special that was, amen? But, you know, growing up in that household of faith, the faith movement, you know, me as I start studying the Word of God, the Bible, I realize it's not just a certain group of people, but the Bible, this is the way we are called to live. I see how the beginning church was formed, and they were choosing someone. They were choosing, they chose Stephen, and the two qualifications Stephen had was he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. I said, whoa, okay, Stephen, here he is. The two qualifications they list about Stephen was he was full of faith, not full of doubt, not full of unbelief, not full of trying God, but he was full of faith, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. I said, whoa, this is not just a Kenneth E. Hagin thing. This isn't just a Brother Copeland thing. This is the way we are called to live according to the Bible. The two qualifications we should each have is we're full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. We pray in tongues. Full of faith in God. That's the Bible. Even Paul says, the faith that I preached. Paul, he preached faith. Acts chapter 14, Paul's talking, and it says Paul perceived that there was a man, and he was lame, but he perceived something, that the man had faith to be healed. What did Paul do? He said, stand up, act on your faith. So you know Paul was preaching faith, because a crippled guy in the crowd heard what Paul was preaching and says, hey, I can be healed because Jesus won the victory for me. So Paul preached faith. Our life, we need to have a characteristic that we have a faith in God. That's one thing I want people to say about me. Brandon has a faith in God. Pastor Dieter was talking about me, you know, leaving the comforts of home in California and being there, trusting God. My family's thousands of miles away. And the voice is trying to say, how's this going to work financially? What are you going to do? But I knew I obeyed God. And when God tells you something and you step out and obey it, the provision will be there. And I said, you know what? I am going to have a faith in God like never before. I want to have a crazy faith in God. Where it looks crazy to people, it looks impossible to people, but I have my faith in God. My eyes are on my Father, not my family, not who can make it happen for me. No, I put my eyes on Jesus because I see what the Word of God says and I believe it. We either believe it or we don't. There's no, half-hearted things. We got to believe and take the Word of God and have a faith in God, especially in these last days, like never before. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife, Destiny, so blessed to have her. I didn't forget to introduce you, honey. But you want to stand up? Stand up. Show them how pretty you are. I might get in trouble later on about this. No. But some exciting news, if you don't know, we are expecting a baby. Yes. I'm going to be a papa. Can't wait for Father's Day. I'll get all the presents. What a blessing that is. And God is so good. We actually found out on a ministry trip, found out we're pregnant, and she told me, and I was just quiet. We had a long drive to the airport. She said, why are you so quiet? She said, are you happy? I said, yes, I'm just processing it. But we're excited. And we're having a girl. We just found that out right before this trip. So we're really looking forward to that. God is good. And this is our last stop. We've been on a Canada tour. We first started off in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Yeah, come on, give it up. Moose Jaw's in the house. Moose Jaw. And then we were in Edmonton, Alberta. And we've been seeing God do amazing things. We literally, I know us on the doing this Canada tour, it's not in vain. But I'm seeing the results of it. Like I tell people in Moose Jaw, you think I'm here just to be here? I'm not here just to be here, but I know God is doing something here. I remember the first time we went, we had an awesome time. God really moved. And I remember we left Moose Jaw, and Destiny and I, we were talking, and we were saying, do you think we should go back there again? I said, I don't know. Well, I don't think so. We'll see. We'll pray about it. But we kind of knew, we don't know if we'll go back. Well, then all of a sudden, a guy sends me a message, and it's him. And he goes, Brandon, I want to say thank you for coming here. God healed me. I had health problems, my heart. I was supposed to have an operation. And when you were here, God healed me. And I got a clean bill of health from the doctor. I'm 100% whole. I don't have to have surgery. I said, I guess we're going back to Moose Jaw. But we're not just doing this Canada tour just to do it, you know. We've been seeing God really move. And I know I was thinking about it and praying about it this afternoon. And it's like a Holy Ghost jackhammer across the country of Canada. God is doing something. And it's not just coming in once in a while, but as we've been consistent, every year we've been seeing greater and greater response to God. And it's truly amazing. God is so good. So I'm excited to be here, what God is doing here tonight. And as we lean in, you know, we sang about it, and the presence of God's in the house. And as we lean in, you know, not even when I'm talking, you can yield yourself and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. And he might touch you even as I'm talking. His presence might come on you. And if you just check out, just go for it. Like Peter, when he was preaching, I love this in the book of Acts. He was preaching and it says the Holy Ghost fell. He didn't have to go, get up here, person. Holy Ghost, get him. No, as he's preaching the word of God, Holy Spirit is writing that word and confirming it, and the Holy Ghost fell on the house. I love that. Holy Spirit, he moves and does whatever he wants to do. Amen. I was recently in a service not very long ago in California, powerful woman of God, and we're there, we sat next to her, and there's a lot of people, and she was preaching and about yielding yourself to God, and kind of on the same lines, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit, he's moving in, and just go with it. And I'm sitting there, and I was thinking, that's right, and I'm yielding myself, but I kind of felt, Brandon, get on your knees and just, right now, I just want you to get on your knees. And I wouldn't do it. I said, I'm going to get on my knees. That might be embarrassing. I'm not going to. And I thought it was just, you know, maybe it's just me. Why would I get on my knees? I don't want people to look at me. Other people were doing it. So I'm like, maybe get on my knees. I just felt that. So she got done preaching and people, you know, she's praying for people. And then she comes and she lays hands on me, and I felt like a fire go in me, and something was pulling me down to my knees, and I was fighting it. She grabbed my arm and threw me down to my knees. But I felt that the whole time. And like tonight, whatever you're sensing, just yield yourselves to the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me open up on a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your presence, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, where you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here at the sound of my voice. They won't hear my words, they'll hear your words. And Holy Spirit, ride and confirm the word tonight, Lord. It's all about you. We worship you, we honor you, we treasure you. We're not just here just to be here on a Wednesday night, but Lord, we seek your face. And we thank you, Lord, for divine encounter, and we will never be the same in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk about something so simple, but yet it's so powerful. And it's this, loving Jesus. We all love Jesus. Loving Jesus and spending time with him. That's what's matter right there. That's the highest call, is having that intimacy, loving Jesus and spending time with him. To know someone, you have to spend time with him. Like never before in this hour that we are living in, we got to know Jesus, but we need to spend time with him daily. And I love looking at the past and how God used people and revivalists and how they'd fill up stadiums and tents and miracles, but then later on in their ministry, you see like it completely just go away. Dying young, quit the ministry. I know ministers that are so on fire for God, can fill up churches, people want to hear them, but then all of a sudden, they're not even serving God anymore. I know pastors personally had churches, big churches, doing amazing things. They had a light show, had the fog machine going, they got the good music going, people coming in, multiple services, but now they're not even serving God. Totally away from God. going to clubs. And I'm thinking, how is this? And this is how you become burnt out. You give, but you never receive. You never take back for yourself. And the result of that is you giving out more than you're getting in, and it will cause you to be burnt out. There's too many burnt out Christians burning the wick instead of burning oil from heaven. That's why a lot of Christians are grouchy, mean, talk about each other, jealous, envy. What is that? They're burnt out. And we have to spend time with Jesus daily. Daily. That's the key. I know a man, awesome man of God, his lifestyle brought up in gangs, working with the Mexican cartels, supernaturally gets delivered from all that. I would talk to him. He'd tell me some stories. On fire for God, head of the children's ministry, God using him amazing. He gets hurt. He gets discouraged. 30 years, I'm talking, on fire. He gets hurt. He gets discouraged. He neglects his daily time with God, and he goes back into the world. I'm talking to him the whole time. I see it happening. I see it progressively going downhill. I'm talking to him, and he's a little different than last time I talked to him. I'm trying to tell him, I love you. You know, God loves you. You know, who cares about everyone else? People are people. Yeah, yeah. And then next time I see him, he's like a different person. And now, completely away from God. What happened? He stopped spending time with Jesus on a daily basis. The world started to come in. Those flesh desires started to come back. What I used to do, things that make me feel good, started to come back. That's why Paul says daily, you got to crucify your flesh daily. If you don't crucify that flesh, it's going to come alive. You're going to want to do things that you don't need to be doing. But daily we crucify our flesh and we spend time with Jesus. I meet people all the time. They say, well, I want to be in ministry. I want to preach to people. And they talk to me about, oh, I want to have that time. I want to study so I can preach. And I want to spend time with the Lord so I can preach. And I always tell them, why don't you spend time with Jesus to spend time with Jesus, not to preach? Because you love him, and he's number one in your life. The result of that, he'll use you, maybe to speak with a microphone or in your daily work activity or just live in your life. But why don't your number one priority spend time with Jesus because you love him? I don't spend time daily with Jesus so I can preach. I spend time, I have a daily routine. I spend time with Jesus because I love him, and he's my everything. And I don't want nothing to get in the way of that. I don't want old Brandon creeping in. I know what Jesus has taken me from. And he's my everything. And I want to spend time with him. And I will carve out that time. It takes discipline. You got to carve out that time. Your flesh will say, oh, you've had a busy day. Just go to bed. No, daily. Carve out that time. I'm spending time with Jesus. And even whatever you're doing throughout your work day, you can spend time with Jesus. You're talking to him. Psalms 1 talks about meditating the word day and night. You can commune with Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me on the job. Thank you, Lord, that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Thank you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you, Lord, for that money I sowed at Victory Life on Wednesday night. I thank you, my harvest is here. I believe it. Thank you, Lord, Mark 11, I have faith in you. I have the faith of God. I say with my mouth. I speak blessings and not cursings. But I even believe, even at your home, that you getting away and having that quiet time with the Lord is so vital. Number one in your life, he has to become your everything. Knowing Jesus and spending time with him. Destiny and I, we'll have our busy days, and we'll get home late, and we'll go to bed, and when she goes to bed, I'll sneak away, and I have a closet, a walk-in closet, and I turned it into a prayer closet. The thing, it's nice. Thank you to my wife. I threw the idea out there, and I didn't think it would stick. And she says, oh, let's do it. Let's do it. I want you to have a place. So she got my old closet, and I got this nice walk-in closet. I got a chair in there. Really nice. I have like a little shelf. I have my favorite shoes on the shelf I can look at on display. It's amazing. Some pictures. I had the colognes there. My collection. It's nice. Everyone goes in there. I have a picture of me holding Smith Wigglesworth's Bible. So, but I go in there because Jesus, he's my everything, and I want to spend time with him. I want fresh oil from heaven. That's the key, amen? So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. Isn't God so good? And it will turn into being disciplined about it, maybe having setting up a routine in your life. I'll pray in the spirit for 30 minutes, I'll do this. It'll turn into that, and then it'll turn into a full-out addiction. You'll say, flesh, you listen up. I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to put on my worship music. Man, there's been times where I felt all types of pressure come against me. And I'll just, Brandon, get in your word. And I'll get in the word, put my headphones on, put on the worship track I like, praying in the spirit, I'm reading. Then all of a sudden, I'll get up like a roaring lion. I'll start confessing over me. And it's like flipping the switch. I'll flip a switch. I am like a roaring lion. I'm saying, devil, you are a liar. I'm blessed. God is for me. Who can be against me? What if I would say, oh, Brandon, come on. A lot of pressure, man. I feel bad. You feel so sorry. You're all by yourself. What if I would give in to that? No, I say, devil, you are a liar. You are under my feet. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You cannot touch me. Amen. Not just preaching a word or hearing about it, but living it on a daily basis. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? That's a good question. Master, we have all these commandments. What's the greatest? And Jesus said unto them, verse 37, here it is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So that's what Jesus said. The first and greatest commandment, listen up, to love me, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, with everything. And then here's the second one. The second one is this. And love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It hangs on these two. Number one, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. This is the key for us. It doesn't say this, love your neighbor as yourself first, then love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. No, to love your neighbor as yourself, you better love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. As being a son and daughter of God, it goes like this. Love God this way. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Then you can love people as yourself. It doesn't do this. Love people, love people, love people. Serve, serve, serve. Those are great. Go to the church, be a greeter. Next day, serve, help, backpack, give away. I'm there. No, number one, it better be love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. I can't love destiny the way I'm called a lover if I don't love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. That's my number one. And destiny can tell when I need to work on that. She'll say, you need to go to prayer. But it's true. My number one should be love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Then I can love people as myself. And we got to go. We got to get to a place that we love ourselves. How are we going to love people as ourselves if we don't love us? You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, man, you're ugly. Man, I can't believe you got this going on. Why do you do that? You know, talking to yourself, you drop something. Gosh, you're so clumsy. No, you got to love yourself the way God loves you. Amen. Like tonight, I love it that I'm wearing these skinny jeans. But love God with all your heart. That's the greatest commandment, Jesus said. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all your mind. It's not about going to the corporate meetings, just going to church two nights a week. No, daily love God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. That's key right there. What would it look like if Christians, with everything in them, they love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind? If believers would walk in this love for Jesus. And it takes you and I spending time with Him. You want to carry the glory, you want to carry the presence of God, you better spend time with Him. Whatever you behold in your life, you will become. Whatever's number one in your life, you will become it. You see that. You go to sports games. Number one is sports in these guys' lives. Man, they can talk sports. They even dress like the basketball players, football players. What's number one in their life? Sports. What do they become? Out of shape sport players. Amen. What you behold in your life, you will become it. And it takes you and I spending time daily with Jesus. And this, here's a question. This is something I always, you know, would think about and ponder, is what did Jesus value on his earthly ministry? When he was here 30 years preparing for 3 years of public ministry, what did Jesus value? Number one, he valued people, of course. But I've been looking and I've been studying it and thinking, what did Jesus value? And this is what I came up with. He valued his time with his dad. He valued his time with his father. And Jesus is our example. You and I, we need to value our time with our father. Jesus, he valued his time with his father. And you and I need to be the same way. Value our time with our Father. In Luke chapter 6, verse 10, I want you to turn there. Luke chapter 6, verse 10. The healing of the man with the withered hand. And check this out, verse 10, and looking round about upon them all, Jesus said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And the man did, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So you see a great miracle, a guy's hand completely healed, restored like the other. And verse 11, and they were filled with madness, and they communed one with another that they might do to Jesus. In verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So you see Jesus, you see a great miracle take place. A man's arm is healed. People were upset. The religious leaders were upset. But you see Jesus checking out and going out to a mountain to pray all night long. What did Jesus value? Spending time with his father. Even after the little boy's lunch and the feeding of the 5,000, and John talks about how they wanted to take Jesus and make him king. And it says Jesus snuck out and went to the mountain alone to pray all night long. He didn't come down here just to be an earthly king. He came to do what his father had called him to do. And you see him going out to a mountain by himself, praying and spending time with his father. That's the source of Jesus' power. I'm sure his flesh is trying to say, you know what, you can get some rest. But he knows for him to walk in the power that he walked in, people always around him, touching him, needing things. You see him going all night in the mountains, spending time with his father. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, Jesus, rising up a great while, he departed into a solitary place and prayed. So it says, a great while before the sun was up, Jesus goes by himself and prays. His own disciples were even looking for him. He says, people are looking for you. But he so loved his time with his father. That was number one. That's what he valued. That's what he depended on. So much so, when Jesus was going through the cross, he was whipped, he was tortured, his beard was plucked out. But you see in Psalms 22, prophesying about it, how Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The one thing that made Jesus give a vocal response was when he felt his father's presence leave him. It wasn't the beard being pulled out, the whip. It wasn't that, but when it's his father left him, and it said that Jehovah had to put everything that you and I deserve, he put it all on Jesus. Pain, sickness, poverty, all on Jesus. And when Jesus felt his father's presence leave him, that's what made Jesus respond. Jesus, God, my father, why have you forsaken me? That's what made Jesus respond. When he felt his father's presence leave him, because his father was number one in his life. He was his everything. It says in Isaiah, the silent years from Jesus from 12 to 30, 18 years, silent years, it said daily God woke up Jesus every morning. He waked up, he made his ear to be open. He woke him up every morning. He was his everything. And that has to become our everything. Loving Jesus and spending time with him. Hallelujah. Loving Jesus and spending time with him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, talks about people that have walking in miracles, signs, and wonders. It looks like on the outside that they're crushing it. They're doing awesome things for the kingdom of God. But you see Jesus, he says this, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not all about what you do, what you put on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever fast you're doing, you're putting it on. It's not all about that. Number one thing that should be in your life is intimacy with Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Paul says, in the end days, there'll be people that will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're in the last days. There will be people that will love pleasures more than they love God. And the next verse, verse 5, it says this, they will have a form of godliness but denying its power. So it looks like they have it going on. They might be preaching, they have the look, but they will have no power. What's the results? How do they get that way? Because they love pleasures more than they loved God. And the results of that, they have a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. Last day's talk. People will love other things more than they love God. And he's calling us to love him and spend time with him. Number one in our life, like never before. You're not too old. You're not too young. He is calling you right now. He has to become our everything. Moses, we know this in the passage. He said, God, I'm not going to go. Your glory has to go. I'm not going without the glory. It was his everything. One of my favorite verses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, Joshua, so Moses is talking to God face to face. The glory of God is there. The Shekinah glory is there. They're done having their talk. Moses goes, but it says Joshua would not leave. He went inside the tabernacle. What do you think he was doing in there? Think he was on his phone? Think he's just chilling? No, the presence of God was there. He said, hey, I love this. This is what I'm talking about. And he sat there, and I'm sure he got strength, and the glory of God was in there. It was hitting him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. It was his everything. He wanted to spend time with God. And you'll notice that as you start having that time with the Lord and you're by yourself, and you'll sense that presence. The glory of God will come. It'll strengthen you. You'll come out of there like a new man and a new woman. Hallelujah. My grandmother, she told me that she was invited in Tulsa to Catherine Kuhlman. She was going to talk to ministers. So she went. She said there's 50 people in there. Catherine Kuhlman was the speaker. And she said she walked in. She was not really comfortable talking to the minister. She goes, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk about what I do. But she said, I'll tell you what. I'll just tell you my daily routine. She said, I spend 5 hours alone with God and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But he has to become our everything. Give him our time. The most precious thing you can give him is that time spending with him. Hallelujah. Here's some scriptures on seeking God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will reward you. Not that we're doing it for this, but he will reward you as you diligently seek him. He's number one in your life. It says in the Bible that he will reward you. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He'll make things possible in your life as you diligently seek God. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Psalms 105, verse 4, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. David lived a lifestyle of seeking God's face. And God said about David, he's a man after my own heart. Yeah, he made mistakes. He did some things he should have done, but he is a man after my heart. You see a lifestyle in Psalms of David seeking God. Jeremiah 29:11, we know this scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Here's verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Searching for me with all of your heart. Psalms 89, verse 20. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. When Samuel anointed David, the horn of oil poured it on him. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You see a young kid anointed by the Holy Spirit running towards the giant Goliath when everyone else was fleeing. And we are anointed in this house with that same Holy Spirit. We can be just like David. It could look like giants in our life, but we run at them and know that God is with us no matter what. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? But he's still looking for someone. He's looking for someone that diligently seeks him when God's number one in their life. He has to become your everything, not just your parents' God, not just the pastors, not something you just get in this routine, this rut, but he has to become your everything. I remember one time, and I was spending time with the Lord, and I felt, I really just sensed God's presence. And I said, Lord, what is this? He said, Brandon, this is revival in your life. This is revival's happening in your life. And I had this sudden, like I just had this knowing that revival needs to be happening in your life before you can truly say, I'm praying for revival. It better be happening personally. God better be your number one. You better be on fire for God to say, I'm really believing God to shake Canada with the power of God, and your life's not even changed by the power of God. You're not even walking in it. He has to become our everything. And what does it look like? It looks like us spending time with him daily and saying, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. I need you, Lord. He is our daily bread. He is our daily bread. I want you to turn to John. We're almost done. I want you to turn to John chapter 6. We'll look at verse 32, or verse 31. They said this, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Verse 34, then they said unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. So Jesus says, I am the bread. You come to me, you'll never hunger again. You come to me, you'll never thirst again. Like the woman at the well, he says, you know what? You'll never be satisfied with this. I am the water. He's everything. I see people, we live in Hollywood, and we walk, and I see some real strange things. And I always tell Destiny, they're hungry. They're thirsty. They're trying to satisfy it, and they can't satisfy it. There's only one thing that will satisfy that hunger, satisfy that thirst. It's not Instagram comments, a lot of comments on your posts, likes. If people notice you, no, the one thing that will satisfy it is spending time with Jesus, is Jesus. That hunger, that thirst. Jesus said, I am the bread. Even the manna, you see with the children of Israel, daily they took the manna, they ate from it. They couldn't save yesterday's bread. It would rot, it would spoil. But daily God would rain down fresh bread for them. It's a daily thing. Your past should not be greater than your future. Your future is way better than your past. Your greater days are not behind you, they're ahead of you. And just like the children of Israel, daily taking part of that bread, daily taking part of that manna, Jesus said, I am the bread. And daily, we got to take part in that. Nothing will satisfy your hunger, and nothing will satisfy your thirst but him. Loving Jesus and spending time with him. That's the key to everything. That's the key to joy. That's the key to breakthrough. Everything. When he's your everything. You don't let things in the earth hold you down. Situations. No, Jesus is my everything. And daily carving out that time and spending it with him. He's longing for it. We're his kids, his sons and daughters. He wants to flow through us. The Holy Spirit, he wants to so move through us that we shake our cities. Everywhere we go, people are changed by the power of God. They are changed by you and I. Literally, atmospheres are shifted when we walk into a room. And it's because Jesus is number one in our life, and he's flowing through us. Coffee shops, we're shining bright for Jesus. We've had that before. We were at a coffee shop and a guy comes up to me and he starts talking to me. I thought he was a believer. I said, oh, you love God? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm an atheist. But when I walked in here, I could tell there was a power coming from upstairs. I was reading a book about the presence of God. So we started talking about the Lord. He said, I don't believe in God. I've read the Bible 8 times, but don't believe it. I said, well, you're hungering and thirsting for something. And he went from being an atheist to saying, well, maybe I'm not sure. So I started talking about the love of God. I said, what do you think drew you up here? We serve a God of power. But he wants to so use us in these times, everywhere we go. So full of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, it talks about being filled with the Spirit of God. Full of Holy Ghost, not half full, but being so full of the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord daily. He's everything. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good.